WSCIRO, Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, Boston, Massachusetts.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Well, thank you everyone for coming to my birthday party. Oh, gee, great. You know, I really needed another, a tie.
Oh, yeah, hey there, Jim. That's no problem. You know, I saw that and I said to myself, hey, Jim wears shirts and stuff, so I'm thinking, shirts, a tie, it's perfect. A match made in heaven.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Wait, sweetie, here's one more gift for you.
What is it, honey?
Just open it.
Hey, it's a Bible. I've been wanting one, and it's got my name on it.
This is no ordinary Bible. It's the Personal Promise Bible. It doesn't just have your name on it. It's got your name inside it, too.
Let's see. John 3:16. For God so loved Jim. Wow, this is cool.
Check out Proverbs 18:22.
Wow. When Jim found Linda, he found a good thing. I sure did. Thanks, honey.
The Personal Promise Bible, the most thoughtful gift you could ever find. Call toll-free to get your Personal Promise Bible. 1-866-847-7731. A Bible as unique as you are. Online at personalpromisebible.com.
As we're painting your skies with worship, painting your skies. We're painting your skies with worship. Painting your skies deep to thee. Deep to thee. You're painting our hearts with mercy. Deep to deep, yeah. We're painting your skies with worship. We're painting your skies with worship. We're painting your skies. We're painting the heavens with worship. Painting your heavens. We're touching your heart. Worship, touching your heart. We're opening the skies with worship. We're opening the skies.
I was taken. Into a deeper place. It was a chamber that was very scary at first. It was dark. Very, very dark. And the Holy Spirit took me inside. And I find myself in this huge place. It was not completely dark down there. It was like a twilight light. I could barely see. And at the very end of this huge hall, there was a chair. And someone seated in the chair. Everything in this place was lonely, was forgotten, was forsaken. It was like an old place filled with loneliness. And when I approached that seat, I saw Jesus. His head was bowed down, and he was weeping. I was shocked, and I said, Jesus, what is this place? What is this place? Why are you crying, my Jesus? What is this place? He suddenly lifted up his face and looked into my eyes. His cheeks were just filled with tears, and he said, this is the place of my loneliness. This is the place where my bride almost never comes. Very few come to this place. Many want the places of my blessings. Many want the places of my love and my beauty. But this is the place where my bride hardly comes. This is the place where love is so lonely, where giving your life, where pouring your love for others, not everybody wants to come to this place. It's a place where your heart is broken day after day. He showed me how every day he opens his heart and he comes to us. He puts his barren heart in front of us. He comes in the mornings with great joy and saying, here's my open heart. Do whatever you want to do to him. I'm pouring my heart to you. This is my pure love to you. And every day we stabbed at heart. Every day, people turn around. People don't even look at him. People don't even say good morning to him. People just hurt him. And day after day, he comes back. And with his wounded heart, he says, I am loving you again. I'm loving you again. And again we stab him. And again we stab him. And day after day we despise him. And day after day we think in all our material things, in our selfish rights. And we forsake him. And he continues to love. He continues to love. He continues to give his heart away to us. Told me this is a place of my great suffering, the place where people don't want to come and join me. Join me, join me. And I took his face and I kissed his tears. And I said, Jesus, if no one wants to come here, I will come here. I will cry for you. I will fight with you against all evil. I will destroy with you, Lord, the forces of evil that are destroying your people. I will go to the deepest places of suffering with you. We're not alone. Receive me as your bride. Someone listening to this word can join him in places beyond the loving kindness and the mercy. Can someone join him in the places where love so hard that very few can go there? When I go to this place, I hear his heart saying thank you. Thank you for joining.
you have for me, your bride. Burning, your heart is burning. Cause is mine to be set on fire and burn with love for you, beloved bridegroom king. You are all I want,
Wonder. dark night, fired with love's urgent longings. Of a sheer grace in the darkness, I went out unseen. My house being all now still.
He wounded my soul. Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these that fly along like clouds, like doves to their nest? Surely the islands look to me in the lead of the ships of Tarshish, bringing your sons from afar with their silver and gold to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Hello, everyone. God bless you and praise the Lord. It is April 15th, the day before Patriots Day here in New England, and I am Dr. Shirley Candiff. I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Candiff, and we're both general managers of WSCIRO on Blog Talk Radio and other venues, but right now we're on Blog Talk Radio, and we are here once more. The show is called Faith Talks Live Prayer, tackling issues of faith as it pertains to the scriptures in your life, okay? And applying those scriptures, and whatever the Lord wants to download from heaven for your life through dreams and visions. Okay, well, a lot has been happening here, and again, did I say a big God bless you to my Facebook friends? I want to say that. My Facebook friends and family, hi, we love you, and also those who catch us on YouTube on the WSTKI TV channel, which is Seek the Kingdom Internet Television of Greater Boston, Christian Television of Greater Boston, and of course WSCIRO stands for a slight variation, but it's the same ministry. It's Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston, and they both serve each other just like we all should serve one another. All right. Well, anyways. There's been a lot of things happening. We've been a lot, you know, we always go from a time where we are the most active to the time of, like, you know, when there's a stillness, and, you know, we go to the desert and we get teaching. Well, that's how the Lord directs us in Faith Talks Live Prayer. He introduces things, he puts things, he brings things up in our life that we need to address. And there's always a teaching, a greater teaching, that the rest of the body of Christ can benefit. And so we learned how to take our personal crisis and our personal challenges to the cross in order to receive the wealth from heaven to bring to the nations and the families of the earth. And we're not talking about material wealth. And for those who, you know, especially in this time, in this day and age, those powers that be, all right, who think that you can control nations and families and political agendas and parties with wealth from this world, I got one news for you, all right? And the Lord put this in my heart just before we did this show. And that is, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. And remember that. Your days are numbered, and you're only on this earth for a season. And if you think you can buy political agendas, buy mindsets, influences, over people, that's just down and out witchcraft. Now, that will not hold up. That will burn. Okay? And if you don't repent, you would burn too. That's with all of us. All right? And so what we have at stake here is a freedom conscience. And not so much, we're not so much, we want to present all facets of the issue with freedom of conscience, but what it all points down to is Jesus is right for you. And this is what this name was. This is what we're going to focus in on. And this four-part series on From His Heart to Your Heart, which is a faith talk subject here, okay? And, the Lord's, I felt the sorrow of the heart and of the Lord, His sorrow, but I'm sure that I didn't feel the intensity, because who could stand? I wouldn't even be alive here to tell you, to be able to present this to you. But this is something that is aching in the heart of the Lord, and He loves His people, and He wants to let you know you need to get back on track, because if you don't, something hideous is coming on a horizon. And thank God we still have a Christian voice. And I'm going to have my husband come on and share with you some of his insights on the freedom of conscience and what he's found on the internet. But before then, I want to go into, let's see, Psalm 73, because that was something that, in my ordinary day, the Lord broke into my time, okay, as I was doing my daily routine and also keeping an eye and ear open to heaven. Of course, I would always ask the Lord, what is it? What else do you want me to share with your people, okay, on this, on our radio show, on your radio show? Actually, it's the Lord's radio show. Did you know that? Everything here is the Lord's. We're just partaking of His delight. Anyway, so let's go to Psalm 73. My husband just walked in the studio. And hello, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Awesome.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, too. Did I tell you it's a Sunday morning, too, at 9:10 a.m. now? Anyways, Psalm 73. I believe it's a long psalm, but this is what's in the heart of people. This is what concerns many, okay? Concerns many authentic followers of Jesus, of Yeshua. Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles, I would say to myself. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. And they don't even care at some point, only about themselves, right? I threw that one in. Therefore, pride adorns them like a necklace. They clothe themselves with vinyls. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil conceits of their minds know no limits. And oftentimes it's reflected in their voices and their speeches. Like the other day, this particular person who believes or thinks is deceived and thinking he has a lot of clout and a lot of power to influence people's minds. Well, he said the most strangest thing concerning autism, and basically he said that the reason why there's an increase of autism is that, because it's due to the obesity of the women that have these children. And I can tell you right now, because I drive a lot of families, a lot of children I drive to school that are autistic. I look at their mothers, and their mothers are as thin as a rail. So we can throw that theory out, okay? All right, let's get back to Psalm 73. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High God have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I've been punished every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. This is what many of you are facing, trying to understand. And as you try to understand, you're getting this heaviness, okay? Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast down them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet, I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fall, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. And as for you, it is good to be near God. Okay? I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell all of your deeds. All right. So I have my husband here. And I am going to give him the mic. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Shirley.
Well, what do you have to share regarding the freedom of conscience and what you found, what you discovered on the internet? And we'll post that link on the description to this show. So what did you find regarding freedom of conscience and the commission for that? Tell the viewing audience.
Well,
the listening audience.
The commission is actually the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom. And I don't know all the details at this time, but I do know it is an agency of the United States government founded by Christians in conjunction with the president in 1998. This group was made to speak to policy issues that the government would be developing concerning different issues relating to humanitarian care and all those other things. And I never knew it existed, to be honest with you, until I went to a Christian website called Voice of the Martyrs, and I clicked the they had a news page, and I clicked on one of the links, and this came up, and that's how I found out about it. And this is a really important thing to keep our eyes on, because the real problem is that part of the problem in responding to the problem is that we are uninformed. We don't know what's been said out there in the past, what's going on. And my example is finding this United States Commission on International Religious Freedom. They're talking about, like, different people, what's going on in Bethlehem right now against the minority Christians in Bethlehem and stuff like that. That's their monitoring group. They watch this throughout the world in any country that will allow them to come in and observe. And it's just and it connects to our current issue, which is in the United States, about freedom of, you know, religious liberty and freedom of conscience. A conscience implies that we are educated as Christians on morality and faith, morality and truth. And if you haven't noticed this slow uneducating of our society, slowly going, and
almost like a dummy in Dow.
Because
yeah,
a well-informed, people with a well-developed intellect and knowledge base can fight these things.
Mm-hmm. But they also have to fight it with faith. Yeah.
When you join it with faith, mm-hmm. with all things, God is with God. All things are possible,
mm-hmm.
and when we unite in our faith in Jesus Christ and pray and fast and intercede, we can change things. My example is Queen Esther. She was an orphan. She was Jewish. She was a woman. And the kingdom that the Jews got sent into for captivity, the king, his eunuch, went throughout his kingdom and collected all the beautiful women to replace the queen he disposed of. And her relative Mordecai was in a high place. He was the king's scribe, and his advice to his niece was that you do not tell anybody you're Jewish. And that was wisdom, because in the background, even on that day, there was things developing, introduced things. Bottom line is, she realized it, and when it came time for her to act, she made a statement of faith, and she called her servants together for prayer, and she said, "If I perish, I perish." There was a law of the land in place where even the queen, who if she wasn't summoned by the king, could have her head cut off if he did not show her favor. Kind of strict rule, right? That's what she was facing, but in light of what was coming down the pike for all the Jews in the kingdom at that time, annihilation, the death of one, and you know, the annihilation of a whole population of Jewish people, I don't think. She was willing to sacrifice her life, but she started with 3 days of prayer and fasting before she presented herself to the king. And God moved the king's heart to mercy and pity, and he held out his scepter, which meant he wasn't mad, he wasn't going to execute the law. And the rest is well known, because it's in the book of Esther, and how eventually she thwarts the plans of Haman, and got, you know, but she prayed and fasted. My point is, she prayed and fasted. Yes, God appointed her for such a time as this, and for such a time as this, there's the body of Christ in the United States. We just have to do a lot of dying to ourselves and praying as one mind and one heart, following what Jesus said in John 17.
And what was that, huh?
He prayed that we would be one. Now, Jesus is on earth saying this to his disciples.
Mm.
So he's looking into the future, and as his divine nature, he was able to see to today. Even when his physical body was on earth, he was able to see to our day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe he saw all the generations between the time he was actually here in his body on earth to even today. He saw all the things. He saw all the disunities. He saw, and he breaks every time he sees disunity in his body, because he loves everyone so perfectly and so completely.
And he wills to want to come to us. And on that note, when the Lord told me to talk about his rights for his people, he brought me back to a time, and it was about 3 years ago, July 24th, 3 years ago on a Friday. He brought me back in time to a previous broadcast. It was only a half an hour then, without the props, because it was a free Blood Talk radio service. But you know, the Lord has blessed us, so we can be able to pay for our services, so we can be able to present a better quality broadcast. But anyways, he talked about his rights for his people. He gave me a visitation, and very specific. He came in the form of a businessman, and isn't that something? How the businessmen here of America and all over the world believe that they can, nations are up for grabs, and so they're trying to buy nations with their money. And the Lord's saying that's not going to work, because He's going to turn the, even if God forbid the freedom of conscience falls to the wayside, which I know it won't, because there's a strong voice out there, and there's a kind of unity happening because of this, that the Lord wants to remind every one of his people, every one of his members of his beloved bride, the body of Christ, that his light, you know, when you are wedded to him, when you are united to him, all right, you have certain inalienable freedoms that are yours, that are intrinsic to you, okay, and to your relationship with him. And so he wanted me, he gave me them. He wanted me to remind the, you know, his beloved bride. All you. All y'all. So anyways, enjoy the rest of the show. We're going to go right into that message. And I believe it's going to be a part five, because I believe that there needs to be some healing there for people who have seared consciences. You know, you got to be free inside in order to be a better, a louder and stronger voice on the outside, right? So we're going to look at that. That's, the blocks and barriers to why many people are not free, right, in the power of the Lord Jesus, okay, which is greater than any power of wealth on this earth, but the power coming forth from the kingdom that's lying dormant inside of you is because you are not released because of barriers, okay? And so your conscience can't be as free as the Lord would like it to be. So we will present that in the next segment of Faith Talks Live Prayer from His Heart to Yours. Enjoy the rest of the show. God bless you. Love you. Bye.
Of course, you know, we live in this modern society where the hot topic is people's rights. Some people feel that their rights have been taken away from them. Other people feel that their rights have been given back to them or in the process. And everybody's just so concerned with the right to own property, the right for insurance, the right for this and right for that. And all that is proven in Scripture that we have to be our brother's keeper. But the idea is, how do we our brother's keeper? As Christians, do we, as believers in the Lord Jesus and people of all faith, do we manipulate the system as the zealots did in the time of Jesus, which was another kind of political group? Do we entertain the political spirit, which is, the spirit of legalism? I don't think the Lord wants us to do that, because He says He comes to give us life and give it more abundantly. And I'm about ready to share with you how he reminded me of that. So in this dream, okay, when I dream vision, this man about 33 years old, he has blonde hair. I thought it was cut. He looked more like a today's man. And that's what the Lord would do. He would come and look like somebody in the time period that the people represent, all right? So, he looked at me, and I'm thinking about all these things, all these people that this person, that this person reminds me of. I'm not even thinking that he's Jesus at this point, okay? And he didn't even give me a name. He just looked at me, he becomes real frank with me, okay, after I stopped asking those questions of who he is. It went from my mind to my mouth. And then after he told me the reason why he came. And I thought the reason why he came to me at that moment, but it was more than that. The reason why he came into time, okay. And this is what he said to me. And then as I was waking up from the vision, it was like, it was repeated again to me. This time it was being repeated in my spirit so I can remember it. So anyways, it says, this is what this said. This is what the Lord spoke into my spirit. I'm just still, if you notice, and the reason I sound like this, is I'm still like in awe of what God was saying through Jesus in this vision. I have given you the rights to my life and the release to cry out. I have given you the rights to my life and the release to carry it out. I have given you the rights to my life and the will to carry it out. I have given you the rights to my life and the freedom to carry it out. I have given you the rights to my life and the strength to carry it out. For I died and rose that you might have my life and have it abundantly. And, it's something that keeps lingering in my spirit. And the Lord really wants me to teach from it, but He also wants people to catch it. Okay? And He wants us to stop this bickering and these debates, you know, about, you know, are you a left-wing Christian versus a right-wing Christian? We're, you know, God wants us to be believers after his own heart, and he wants us to be so open to his Holy Spirit working within us that we become transformed into his image and likeness, and that our very nature changes and his divine nature, you know, becomes more fully manifest in us, and that as we're transformed it's through our actions, through this new transformed nature in us, the new man formed in us, that we would be able to change the world. But it's one action at a time, one fruit at a time, and it's not through manipulation of the political spirit. The move of the spirit is contagious. It's caught and not taught. It's caught and not supposed to be a tool of manipulation. The Lord showed me that this is prostitute in his spirit. He does not want us to prostitute his spirit anymore, okay? And we need to repent of prostitute in his spirit and saying that something, you know, that a certain political, party is more of a spirit than not folks. I got to tell you, you know, some of the, you know, a lot of the left-wing politics is definitely not of the Lord, but I tell you, there's more of a pain of attention to the social justice issues, and I'm not talking about socialism, okay? The other thing is that there's two forms of socialism. There's the kind that Hitler tried to espouse and the kind that Stalin tried to espouse, and the Lord doesn't want any of that. But sometimes he may allow those powers to emerge to purge us. But I believe that he wants such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that those powers will not even, you know, erect their ugly heads. But what we need to do is go about our Father's business and going after the kingdom of God through the winning of man's heart, the winning of souls, and the proper teaching of the kingdom of God, that we need to have our lives be patterned and fashioned after, you know, the life of the Holy Spirit, okay? And it has to match up with the Word of God, because we have the Word of God fully manifested in us, okay? Okay, dwelling in us. We have the Word of God in us through Jesus, all right? And so we need to understand that in order for, you know, for us to bring the kingdom of God to the earth, we have to give birth in the spirit, and it's not all about having debates. The Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, always tried to get Jesus into a debate, and all he did was speak about the mysteries of heaven and why the Father sent him, and that's what we have to understand about ourselves, all right? Now, you know, there's been several people that have commented, made really, really lewd, crude status comments, but, you know, that we're not Christian, and I've actually observed some other people on their own profiles interact with other people that may not share the same political views as them, and I'm thinking, I'm like, these are two Christians in the body of Christ from the same generation having this, and then one person says, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. You know, there's already division there, and I unfortunately had to defend someone. It was because I didn't want to participate in a cycle of debate and criticism and, you know, questioning people, but, you know, the Lord says I'm more effective, and of course this person didn't think I was, but I'm more effective in spreading the message of the gospel of love through the internet radio and internet television, whether it's one person that listens, you know, each time we have a broadcast. It doesn't matter about the quantity. It just matters that the word got out there, and I'm obedient to the Father as he downloads these things from heaven. So I just wanted to, so what I had done when I responded to this particular person who, you know, had, was having a dialogue, which ended up in an argument and a possible befriending, I saw that and my heart was grieving because the Lord was showing me, you know, they're talking about rights, they're talking about different things associated with the political spirit. And it's not all about, you know, it goes, you know, the kingdom of God goes beyond civil rights. If we knew who we were and what the Lord did for us, and, you know, in Calvary, at Calvary on the cross, then we wouldn't have a problem with, you know, treating our brothers and sisters, you know, according to the dictates of the kingdom. But in living in America, we have a very hard time with that because things, there's been so much injustice in different areas all along, and it just seems that, you know, it all translated to the American dream and how 70% of the people were not living the American dream and only 30% was. So, you know, that's the imbalance when it translates to that. But if we truly were a Christian nation, which we are, all right, that is what the Lord ordained for us, but if we truly acted like a Christian nation, we wouldn't have the 70% to 30% ratio. And, you know, it wouldn't be a problem. But God is challenging the body of Christ one more time to look at this issue before he returns, you know, to look at what is important. And what is important is the changing of men's hearts, but not through the political process, not through a system, but through a laid-down life, sold out, you know, to the Lord, and a docile spirit, an obedient one at that. I'm going to go to Ephesians right now. We only have like 12 minutes left, and we originally had 90 minutes of air time, and we just got late and started, but the Lord was showing me it wasn't going to be a long broadcast because the message was, he just wanted me to give it and try not to be too opinionated, meaning giving my own opinion, but really, it's all about the Lord. So let's get to the point here. Ephesians 4. Okay. This is actually a reading that was in the liturgy service of our, you know, in the Catholic Church this morning. We usually read from the a reading from the Old Testament and then Psalms, and then we read from the New Testament. We have two readings from the New Testament and then another reading in the New Testament, which is the Gospel, one of the four Gospels. Well, anyways, this is Ephesians 4, okay, from, verses 1 through 15, okay? All right, here we go. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. This is Apostle Paul speaking to the people in Ephesus. You have, so again, I mean, I'm just going to go back again. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling, okay? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit for the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train, and he gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens. In order to fill the whole universe, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay, now we have 9 minutes remaining, but you know, I just want, what I wanted to say is that I didn't, when I read this, I didn't read anywhere where he's called some to be Republicans and he's called some to be Democrats and he's called some to be independent. I didn't read anything in here in Ephesians that had to do with any political affiliation. As members of the body of Christ, we should be all about, teaching people to be apostles, all right, in accordance to the gift within them that's been there since before the foundation of the earth was laid, okay? And then the Lord has also ordained people, you know, some people to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers, okay? Only for the sole purpose to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, it's really funny in the Obama administration how they recognize this. And, you know, the administration, the political body that seems to be, you know, prevalent in our government happens to be Democratic. And even the president is saying that he is Christian, or, you know, some people are, they're misreading what he's saying, and they're saying, well, he's only Christian in some attitudes. Well, that's like that with everyone, okay? We do not walk in the full nature of Jesus because that's why we're praying for revival. So in the upcoming revival, let's include the president in prayer as well. Everyone, especially, who is espousing to the fact that they're Christian, why? Because of, you know, by nature of their baptism, they receive baptism. Now they put on Christ in faith. They receive baptism, water baptism, and the baptism of fire, the baptism of the Spirit, by laying of the hands. Okay, so, you know, when we receive that, and we also do the sinner's prayer, make the Lord Lord and Savior of our life. Okay, and in front of witnesses, in the company of witnesses. All right, we begin to walk in that which the Lord has ordained for us before the foundation of the earth was laid. We begin to walk out our salvation, all right? We begin to, receive training from the various disciplines in the body of Christ. But nowhere does it say that we're, you know, to be trained to become part of any particular political party. So I don't understand about these political debates. It's good to read up on them so we understand the world in which we live and we understand how to pray. But we should all be about our Father's business. And so that was what the Lord showed me. And it was funny how there's a certain situation that came up and made the headlines because of the nature of the situation. I believe that in Harvard University, there was this Professor Gates was locked outside of his house, and I must have locked the keys somewhere, and he decided to, that he knew, you know, apparently he knew which window it was that was not locked, and he went into his window, but then there was a neighbor who observed this and thought there was an African-American man breaking into a nice house, and it was his house. And so she called the police, and the police came to the private property of this person and arrested him, okay, after he showed his ID and identified who he was. And when they didn't understand who he was and they didn't believe him because of racial profiling that they received, they actually went to a class that was given by the sergeant who made the decision to have him arrested and then drop the charges once he... Everything was clarified, but the humility that this man went through because of the racial profiling that this person was teaching other people about and the fact that they followed that protocol caused the situation to reach the attention of the governor of Massachusetts, Deval Patrick, who is actually a good friend of this person, and President Barack Obama. And from what it said, that, you know, and what from what I heard on the news is that, you know, the president said that the person acted stupidly. He didn't call him names. He just said it was stupidly, which is an adverb. But, you know, this is what I read. I did, you know, and I read another thing in the Metro about this. So as I'm reading this, I'm like, Lord, what is at stake here? And the Lord didn't even go into the racial part, what could be happening on the earth side. He actually showed me something on a very, very minute level that, and related it to the kingdom of God. Okay, he was showing me that he brought to my attention, he reminded me when I took real estate that, you know, I know in the state of Massachusetts, on a quick claim deed, when somebody goes and purchases property, they have, you know, what you call these rights that are likened to the Bill of Rights, but they call it a bundle of rights, fee simple. And what happens is that these rights, you know, the right to enjoy your property and, you know, as a private citizen, all these things about your property is what you buy when you purchase property as a homeowner in the state of Massachusetts. And that was violated because this person had every right to go into his house any way he knew how because he owned that property and he was looked upon as a trespasser of his own property. So the Lord has shown me it's the rights of the individual that came into question. So then that's when, you know, when it was Friday when he was giving me that teaching. And then when I was, then he brought me into a sleep to tell me more about what he gives us from heaven, what he gave us from heaven with the, you know, when he died and rose again. After the third day, and I just want to leave you with this because we have 2 minutes, okay? And so what the Lord was telling me to remind everyone that go after the rights, okay? Understand and receive the rights that that He gave us from the cross, from His blood that He purchased for us. And it goes like this: I have given you the right to my life and a release to cry out. I have given you the right to my life and the release to carry it out. I have given you the right to my life and the will to carry it out. And I have given you the right to my life and the freedom to carry it out. I have given you the right to my life and the strength to carry it out. For I died and rose that you might have my life and have it more abundantly. So, Lord, I pray whoever listens to this, we have 1 minute remaining, that, Lord, that you would, Lord, that you would get on in the inside of them and that they would begin to live out these rights and apply what you did at Calvary on in their life right now so that they would be transformed and truly transformed in the mind, the body, the will, and emotion. In Jesus' holy name. And I just wanted to thank you for listening to WSCIRO Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, become our friend if you would like. You know, just go to blogtalkradio.com/WSCIRO and request us as a friend. You may have to sign up to sign in. And you don't necessarily have to have your own radio show, but if you want to, go right ahead. If you want to. And my husband was here just praying for me. He's actually right now in the spirit and laying out and hanging out with the Lord. And so, again, I just want to just ask the Lord to just touch you in a very special way and touch you with His love so that you can be an ambassador of His love and grace to a world that's very much in need of it. God bless you all. I love you. Thank you. God bless. Bye.